About something that's near and dear to my heart, and perhaps you have felt this way maybe years ago, maybe you don't feel this way now, but contradictions. Anybody ever feel like you're torn on the inside? You got this war going on the inside of you, and you feel, some of you even convicted to lift your hands and praise God because Satan reminds you of all the stuff that's ever happened in your life. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about contradictions. I want to use this scripture. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 is where I'm going to be. You guys can turn your Bible, your smartphone there. Romans 7 and 15. Paul, he spoke my language in this scripture. And it's like, if I ever read a scripture that echoed the sentiment of my heart, Paul hit it with this one. He said, Romans 7, 15 is on the screen, or you can keep flipping. You can find it. He said, I don't really understand myself. Anybody ever been there before? He said, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. He said, instead, I do what I hate. I know y'all saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, with a mighty burning fire, and you do speak in tongues that the Spirit of God give you evidence, and you quicken, and you praise God, and you do everything perfect. But is there anybody be honest in here and say, there are times when I want to do right, but I feel this pull to go in another direction? I think that was one of the most boldest statements that Paul could make. You think about this. He was honest and said, I do what I hate. To admit that you're doing something that is in the opposite direction of where you want to go is big. When was the last time you heard somebody say, the reason my relationships suck is because I'm controlling, I'm selfish, I throw a fit, I do a temper tantrum when things don't go my way. I'm not going to talk to you. I can be mean. I can be trifling. You don't hear that. You always hear, are they intimidated by me? It's the anointing of God on my life. Favor ain't fair, girl. When I show up, demons get to acting up. No, they're just trying to hold you accountable. Some stuff ain't the devil. Some stuff the devil like, I'm not really even sure. I wasn't even there. But many of us have to be honest. I'll be honest and say it. There are times that I self-sabotage my own life. Paul said, the very thing I hate, I do. That's a strong statement because we live in patterns that are not producing what we desire. And this statement indicates if you know there's something you hate, there's got to be something you love. Hate cannot exist by itself. Hate doesn't exist. The only reason hate exists is because there's something you love. And I want to help you this morning find that thing that you love, and I want to see that be a part of your life. Because many of us, if we'll be honest, we live in a contradiction. How many of y'all here, y'all love God? Y'all love God, y'all love Jesus with your whole heart. But here's a challenge. Some of us love God, we love Jesus, but we still like to cuss. Somebody bought me this shirt, said, I love Jesus, but I still got these hands. Some of us, we love Jesus, but we don't like everybody. We love Jesus, but people get on my nerves. Some people are married, say, I love them, but I don't like them every day. Some of you got kids, say, I love them with everything I got in me. But there are days that I want to. It's contradiction. I love the nature of what I do, but I hate to go to work some days. I love Jesus, but I still like twerk sessions. I love Jesus, but I'm be honest, I still like to get drunk. I didn't say drinking, I said drunk. I love Jesus, but I love weed. I love Jesus, but I got a temper. Am I doing all right in here? They fanning hard over here, boy. 90 miles an hour. They had a Chinese fan for that one. It's hot, so I'm going to get where I'm going. These contradictions can fall in two categories. You can be ashamed of the contradiction. You're ashamed because I hate it. I don't agree with it. But you're doing it either because you like it or either you don't know how to stop. And it brings this level of shame, this level of shame that man, you'll walk into a setting like this, and you'll size the room up. All right, I see you. You like you got it together. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody has this struggle. So, you know, the saints are judgmental anyway. Church folks, man, they all this. And you've talked yourself into a conversation that never happened. And you size everybody up in the room. And instead of expressing what's on your heart and being honest with it, we have learned. And shame comes when we're hiding something. Now, I'm not telling you to share your business to the world. But there's always somebody God puts in your life that you can be honest with. Like, I love God, but I'm struggling with this. I need you to, I love my husband, I love my wife, but I'm struggling with this. I know God has called me to be great, but I struggle with my confidence. And the shame that comes with it because your natural desire is perverted. Then there's confusion. Where you walk around like, I know I got a dream, I know I got ambition, I know I got faith, I know what God told me, but it's not showing up in my life. What's missing? You want to ask yourself, how's that working for you? And the reality is, in those moments, you need to have an eye-open experience so that you can see what it is that you're missing. I want to show you a scripture that explains the contradictory life. You got your Bible open. Let's flip down to verse 19. Your smartphone, go there, or you could follow me on the screen. But I'd love for you to read this in your own time. I want to challenge you to read it in like a NIV or a Amplified version. The King James Version may throw you off a bunch of these, thuses, and thous. So read it in a translation. Perhaps you can understand. Yeah, serious. Verse 19 says this, I want to do good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do right, I come to church and they got donuts. They got orange juice, they got water, and I ain't studying the water. When I want to do right, every ex that I ever had, they find my number, they find me on social media. When I want to do right, I ain't going nowhere tonight. And they say they're going to pay for me, and there's normally a $50 cover charge at the door. I got a tab at the bar, and I said I'm staying in tonight, and now they say they're paying for everything. He didn't really say that, but you can read it to what he said. But he said, when I want to do right, I inevitably do what is wrong. He said, I love God with my whole heart. I think all of us can say that. I love God. I do. I love God. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind, the power that makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. I want to tell you in here, I don't care if you've been saved one day or 100 years, there was a nature inside of you that you had to be very careful of. You heard me say it comically all the time, old rats love cheese too. You never get past the point where you won't be tempted. I don't care who you are in here. You will be tempted. And watch this. It's not a temptation if you don't like it. Satan is not going to tempt you with what you don't want. It's not a temptation. Temptation is to get a natural need met in a perverted way. It's a natural desire that God gave me, but he wants me to get it met in a counterfeit way. And here's what happens. I want to show you what it looks like. This life, and this, let me go back to the scripture here. There's 3 points I want to bring out. He says, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me. All right, that's doing it. The second principle is this. Another power within me that is at war with my mind. The third one, it says, this power makes me a slave. I want to introduce a concept to you of belong, believe, behave. It's not me who's doing it. It's sin that's in control. Believe, it's at war with my mind, and then it's making me behave in a way that is not me. Here's how Satan pressures you. That's a person kidnapping a child. When Satan comes after you, it's like he holds you hostage. Satan is like, you ever seen people that were, I was watching SWAT with Barbara, and they kidnapped this man's child, and they were holding him hostage because of a secret in his past, and if he didn't give them money, they were going to reveal the secret in his past. Satan will do the same thing with you. He'll hold you hostage. You can't move forward in life. You remember you did X, Y, Z? There comes a point in life you ought to tell the enemy. When you tell it, you're testifying for me. Because that's not who I am that you're talking about. And when they talk about the person you used to be, you ought to sit back and say, testify for me. Tell him of his goodness. Tell him where he brought me from. Matter of fact, shut up. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You want the one that did it. You want the one that he brought out. Let me tell you what God has done for me. But Satan, through pressure, brings you into his grips. And then once he gets you in his grips, he feeds you with lies. in your mind. He tells you all these things that are not true about people and about life, about God. He wants to tell you that God is the one doing this to all people. God is the one punishing. God is the one taking people's jobs. God don't need your job. God is the one that took your car. He don't need a car. God is not the one doing anything. God gave this person cancer. God did not give. God, he can't give you what he don't have. I want you to sit in for a moment. And you believe all these lies about God and people, and you behave like a puppet on a string. And you say, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing it. But here's the reality, how it worked in the opposite direction with God. With God, you belong. God loves us all. I don't care what your walk of life is. I don't care what you struggle with. I don't care what's going on. This is a place where you can belong. God does not, he does not discriminate. He does not hold back his love. God loves you just as you are. But here's the thing about God's love. He loves you as you are, but he won't leave you the same way you came. God accepts it. Anybody think about the fact that God accepts you? He accepts you and he loves on you. But here's the thing about God. You can belong with him before you even believe. You believe, the believing part is God teaches you about himself. He teaches you. I've got a teacher there, you can see on the screen behind me, that's teaching a student learning the piano. God teaches you his ways. He instructs you on what to do, and then you behave out of what God taught you. God would never ask you to do anything he's not empowered you to do. And he sits back as a proud teacher and says, show off what I've taught you. And if you get it wrong, he don't kick you out of class. He said, come on back in for another lesson. God loves us. I want BFF to be a known. People say this. Y'all got a little bit of everything to go there, and I'm looking for a little more. I want to be a, I'm serious, where people from all walks of life come in. You know what changes us? The power of the gospel. You don't come in here perfect. You don't go to the hospital well. You go to the hospital sick. And this is a hospital for broken people who are struggling with stuff that said, I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And if you stick around long enough, God will tell you who you are. And after you believe it, you'll walk with a different swagger. You'll walk with a different way of life. Why? Because you believe something different. And I want to challenge you in here. Be careful what you belong to. Because you will accept what you accept as normal is not, is sometimes dysfunction. If you grew up in a house where everybody argued and screamed at each other all the time, and all you saw was fighting, that's what you think is normal. And you walk in somebody's house and they ain't arguing. They sit there and they just peaceful and laughing. Y'all like, that's fake. No, that ain't on. Ain't no way that's real. Why? Because dysfunction is normal to you. The reality is you have to learn how to deal with those things. In love, you can belong before you believe and believe before you behave. I'm about finished. Can I give you the solution? The solution to the contradictory life is this. Romans 7:24. He says, wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me, set me free from being dominated by sin and death? Verse 25 says, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what has to happen. In order for you to be delivered from this contradiction, you got to have a moment of honesty. And I want you to stop for a moment. And I want you to look at you. You got to be honest with yourself. And you got to be honest with God. Here's the thing about this. I can deflect and get the attention off me. But here's what I learned. Pointing out your problems don't solve mine. Because I will never escape me. I can go to another job. I can go to another place. But as long as I have these problems, they're going to try to sabotage my life. So here's the thing. I got to be honest with myself. And look at myself in the mirror and say, Jay, if you keep this stuff up, you'll never reach your destiny. If you keep living down this path, it ain't about nobody else judging you. It ain't about anybody else but you and God. And if you keep doing this, where are you going to end up? I want to challenge you to ask yourself this question. If I stay on the road I'm going, where am I going to end up? If I keep walking down this path, I got a big dream to lose 15 pounds. I've been losing it for the past 3 years. I have. Big dream of mine. But the reality is I will never get there. Y'all know Donut Country came out with this new donut. They put cream cheese in it. I'm a movie buff. Y'all seen, was it Next Friday? Baby D was in it. He was talking about, he said they got all the new snacks, the 2000 snacks. Man, they got these donuts. They got cream cheese in them. They got a strawberry donut with cream cheese in it. But a moment of honesty is this. I would never get my 15 pounds off eating three of them because I can't eat one. I got to be honest with myself. You have to be honest with yourself. I'm talented. I'm smart. I'm gifted. But why is it not showing up? I got to be honest with myself. All right, there's certain places that I cannot go. You can go there, but for me in my house, I'm not good yet. There's certain conversations, there's certain people that you want to talk to. You got to be honest with yourself. Say, I'm still weak. I'm still vulnerable in certain areas. I still got to watch my temper. I know you love God, but you got a temper. And there's certain situations you need to walk away from so you're not arguing and fussing and cussing every day. Be honest with yourself. Have a moment of honesty and say, what do I love? What do I hate? And be honest with somebody, not just yourself. Be honest with God and be honest with the people around you. It's all right to be honest. Barbara, I am struggling today. I need you to pray for me. It's hard for me to be honest with you guys. I need your prayer. I'm struggling with certain things in my life. You got to be honest because watch this. God comes in moments of vulnerability. It's the person who thinks they got to be hard. You got to hold everything in. You're going to struggle your entire life. You got to find some moment to be vulnerable. You got to find some moment to be honest about this is what I am dealing with. Because here's what I learned. If you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. Oh, yeah. Anybody got this? People, you don't like the people to cut you off in traffic? And you want to tell them they're number one? Oh, it's one day this lady cut me off, and she happened to go in Walmart. This is when we first started the church. And I wanted to, we lived in Nashville at the time. And I wanted to, you know, the Lord had to work on me. And I had to tell myself, Pastor. Y'all won't believe this. Do you not notice she visited the church like a couple weeks after that? And if I would have flipped her off and she'd have walked, that's the pastor flipping me off. You never know when you're interviewing for your next opportunity. You never know. I need a group of people around me that I can be vulnerable with, that can cover me, that you never know what's going on with me. So when I come out to the world, we're good. Barbara's my ride or die. Whatever goes on in our house, we handle this. But when we come out, for all you know, everything's fine, perfect, peach and cream. Because what goes on here, we'll handle this. Because here's the reality is, some of us let too many people in our business, and I'm not telling you to lie, but you let too many people in your business, and you done moved on, and they stuck where you left them. You love them, you done forgave them, you done all this stuff, and they still looking at them for what they were. You got to be careful who you share your stuff with. But I'm saying you got to be honest with somebody because that's where your help comes in. The next thing is this. In order for you, the last thing to change, you got to have an encounter with the gospel. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He had a moment of honesty. He said, who? Who shall deliver me? Deliverance is not a what. He talked about the law all through this. He talked about the law, what's right and wrong, but he said, who shall deliver me? Deliverance comes through a person, comes through the gospel, comes through God sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says he who knew no sin took our sins upon him and he died upon the cross. The Bible said he gave up the ghost and went to a grave, a borrowed tomb, stayed there 3 days and got up with all power in his hand. There's power in the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, my sins, past, present, and future. And that if I can confess my sins, he will forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. There's power in the gospel. But Paul said, who? Many of us are trying to change based on a what? The church is not about behavior modification. You want to come in here, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop doing that. Remember, I told you behave out of what you believe. And you believe based on what you belong to. So first you got to belong to something. You got to have a relationship with God. You got to switch from religion to relationship. And some of us have raised, how many of y'all were raised in church? Y'all know all the hymns. My pastor growing up said, you sing hymn 99. You know all the hymns, you know all the protocol of church, you know how to do church, but do you know him? Matter of fact, you know how to pray. We thank you, God, he who was and who he is to come. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are omnipotent. You have all power. You are omniscient. You in all places and at all times. God, you are a wheel in the middle of a wheel. You sent your son, Jesus. And the government shall be on his shoulder. You are the bright and the morning star. We love to call your name because your name is great. And Father, if I had 10,000 tongues, it just wouldn't be enough to say thank you. All those things are great because God, you were with Moses when he crossed the Red Sea. You were with David in the greatest mistake of his life. You were with Daniel in the lion's den. You were with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, forgot where I was, in the fiery furnace.
But when the chips roll down, you don't have time to say all those beautiful things. If you've ever been in trouble and didn't know how to get out, all you had the time to say was, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know if thou withdraw thyself from me. Has anybody ever been in that place? You didn't have time to be cute. You didn't have time to be formal. You just said, Daddy, I need you. When you know him, when you know him, you know he's there. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody know him in here? Hallelujah. Y'all done made me lose my breath. Wook, I should have been working out with you. But here's the thing, when you know God, there are people who debate the Bible, and this is probably a different experience for some of you. There are those who debate the Bible. There are those that I argue with. I probably shouldn't, and they say Christianity was introduced to us through slavery. And it's like, no, you know Christianity predated slavery, correct? And all these fallacies in the Bible. And I say, we can debate the facts of all these things, but there's a problem. I know him. You weren't there when I lost my brother and sister, and I was scared I was going to die, and God held me in the midnight hour. You wasn't there when I was addicted to pornography and God delivered me from pornography. You wasn't there when I saw somebody healed of cancer. You wasn't there when I seen God put things back together. I know him. Yeah, I know him. Y'all sit down, you made me nervous. I know him. 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 He's my savior. He's my friend. He's my redeemer. As a matter of fact, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let me finish this. Let me finish. I know him. No, listen, can I be honest? We talk about all these things in the Bible, but I know him. I know what it's like to lose 2 scholarships and to be embarrassed to call your parents and you're taking out loans and you're trying to cover stuff. I know what it's like to get yourself in situations and you forgot what you told this person because you're trying to tell this person something. I know what it's like to see God to redeem your character. I know what it's like to be, you make mistakes and everybody has all these expectations and this pressure on you and you feel like you got to live up to the standard, but then you got all this on you. I know what it's like to feel fake. Know what it's like to live in a contradiction where you love God and shout, but on the other side you got this other thing working in you that you're ashamed to tell people about. But that was a problem. The devil couldn't hold me because I know him. And I know that God loves me regardless of my issues. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. I want to tell you in here, I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what your ethnicity, your walk of life, what you're dealing with in life. The gospel can change you. I know. Listen, I'm preaching to you now. The same person that used to avoid to look people in the eyes because my confidence was so low. Person that was afraid to walk on campus with a Bible, so I walked behind dormitories, behind garbage cans to get up to my dorm because I didn't want to be checked. I got tired of being called church boy. I got tired of all these things, and I questioned myself, but look at me today. I'm not standing in my own strength. I'm standing in the grace of God. I know what it's like to compare yourself to other people. God, let me be honest with you guys. People struggle with stuff. Grew with a big nose and a gap in my teeth. And I looked at people with little noses and their teeth, and they smile perfect. People ask me my whole life, why you don't smile in pictures? I hated my smile. I got tired. People make fun of people for being overweight. I was skinny. And then all it takes is one encounter with an older person with no filter. Are you sick? Do you know what can change you? The gospel. When you ever get a hold of and encounter the gospel, it will change your life. Can I close with this? Here's what I want you to do. How many of you work out? How many of y'all want to work out? Do me a favor. Yeah. By faith. Just by faith. Can y'all make a faith move this week? Do me something by faith. I want you to just drive by the gym. And if you're bold, just stop in the parking lot. And if you want to, find somebody with a treadmill and take a selfie on it. You ain't got to do nothing. We're getting in faith, right? I want you to take a step. But do you know this? Do you know why they have mirrors in workout rooms? It's because people who work out, they like to look at themselves, right? No. And so you can have correct form. So you can look at yourself to see when I'm off. You can see your progress, but you can look at yourself and see when you're off. When you encounter the gospel, God does this. He doesn't just show you where you're going, he shows you where you are. And you will never get where you're going till you deal with where you are right now. Never. In that moment when God shows you himself, you got three decisions. You can condone it and say, this is just who I am, this is how I'll ever be. Or you can condemn yourself. I cannot believe, Jason, you let yourself put on all this weight. I cannot believe, Jason, you made all these decisions. I cannot believe you're in all this debt. Or you can correct. There's power in the gospel. You know what stops many of us? When you start doing good, you see no progress and you stop. Don't you stop. Don't stop. Get it. I want you to go with everything in you. I want you to go for it. And the more you see it, the more you're going to see God do it. I don't want you to condone. I don't want you to condemn. I want you to correct, because there's power in the gospel. Stand to your feet. I want you to bow your head for a moment. 2 minutes and I'm out. I want you to have a